You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic monthly roundtable show. In this show, we've got a group of special guests. We've got Brian Jackson, we've got Tom Fennell, and we've got Jamie Moland with us, the face of WordPress, the official face of WordPress. It's going to be a great show. We're going to be talking about Jamie becoming the official face of WordPress. He's been crowned by Automattic. We're going to be talking about Elon Musk being sued by his advertisers, or him suing his advertisers. We're going to be talking about Kevin Gary and his new product, whatever it is, the mind boggles. And we're going to be talking about a lot more. Normally, beloved tribe, August is a quiet month in tech and WordPress. You cannot say that for this show. We've got more story. I could have added a lot more. And we got a story that I added at the last moment, Tribe, about somebody dying at Wells Fargo and only being found 4 days later. I just couldn't resist that story. It just sums up America in 2024 to me. So it should be an interesting show. We got a big panel, so I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I'm going to start with the guests, but please keep it brief, beloved panel, or we'll be here all day. Let's start off with our beloved face of WordPress, Jamie. Jamie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Jonathan. I'm Jamie Marsland. I am starting as head of WordPressYouTube.org on Monday, September 2nd, and I've been using WordPress for 15 years.
Yes, the game starts on the 2nd, Jamie. I hope you're prepared for what you have got yourself involved. I'm sure you are. Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, yeah, I'm the co-founder at Forge Media LLC with my brother, and we have two WordPress plugins we work on, Perf Matters and NovaShare.
And Tom, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure thing. Thanks, Jonathan. My name's Tom Finelli. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Convessio, and we specialize in scalable WooCommerce hosting.
Right, I've got my friend Heather. Heather, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Heather Renzi. I am the CEO of the CTO of the Difference Consulting. And I'm also known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
Thank you. I've got my friend Chris. Chris, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Chris from Lifter LMS.
I've got my friend, and I think he's a friend now, I think he's forgiven me. I got Spencer with me. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself? I'll get back to you, Spencer. There's nothing coming out of you. We can't hear you, Spencer. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, folks. Kurt Von Annen with Manana No Mas.
Okay.
Oh, he's back. So would you like to introduce
yourself? Your StreamYard resets. Spence from WP Launchpad. I just want to say two things. First of all, love Chris's new studio. Loving that. And I want to say hello to Tom, Chris, and Kurt's beards, which have grown to epic proportions.
Tom always has
I love that tribe. He pays me for StreamYard. I just love it. Right, there we go. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this should be a really classic show, folks. I've got a couple of messages from my major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers, just like you, sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
On coming back, folks, I'd like to point out we got some special deals from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services for the WordPress professional and power user. You can get all these fabulous goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. Plus, sign up for the weekly newsletter where I have a commentary about the best WordPress stories and tech of the week. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. I'm sorry to disappoint. I've made a career of it. I just want to say in public, I really appreciate the guests coming on the show. I know this is where you come to end your WordPress career. So it's always great that people volunteer. So let's start off with the first story. Jamie Marsland joins Automattic as head of WordPress YouTube. He becomes the de facto face of WordPress. What a honor. What a power move, you know. So where should we start? Let's start with Spencer. What do you reckon about this, Spencer? You're muted, Spence.
You're mute. That's the first thing I've done.
About the Jamie story?
Yes.
Previously, Jamie and I had a chance to get to know each other in an interview, and I watched his stuff intently. I cannot think of a better person for this position because he's grown his YouTube channel out and certainly is very, very beloved for the things that he specializes in. The only thing that I will say, which has nothing to do with Jamie's exceptional effort, is I, for one, am in favor of WordPress Classic and Classic Gutenberg blocks. And so I would not be able myself to follow the same path he's doing, because I think a large amount of his emphasis, and Jamie will speak for himself, is on, you know, the block editors and the things with the full site editing themes. But other than that, I love it. I think it's going to be great because WordPress needs an advocate like Jamie to be promoting to more users. So high five to Jamie.
Thanks, Wes.
Thanks. So, Chris, what do you reckon?
I'm here in WordPress because of YouTube. I followed a tutorial in 2008 that showed me how to build my first website. I aspire to Jamie's level of production quality and smoothness. And I'm really excited for it. There's been a lot of discussion around, you know, WordPress has marketing challenges. So I think focusing on YouTube specifically, I think is just a great avenue to help users of all skill levels get involved with great content. I'm not sure exactly what the position's all about and what the goals are. And looking forward to learn more about that. But I think YouTube holds a huge opportunity. And what I find is a lot of people consume content. I know this from the learning management system space. People have different learning styles and content consumption preferences. And we tend to gravitate towards the ones we're best at. I wish I could write like Brian Jackson. I wish I could YouTube like Jamie Marsland. I wish I could podcast like, I don't know who, but...
Oh, you should have said me. I was supposed to say me.
I spread myself across all these channels, and I think I do them all in an average way. But
I did like you, Chris, and going off you.
I think that YouTube specifically, and especially with the complexity of, you know, building websites and all the steps and bits and bobs and stuff, video marketing, video communication just holds such a huge opportunity, especially across languages as well. So I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, fine. Tom, I've got no beef with Jamie at all. I think he's going to do an excellent job. My only critique of it is it really highlighted the problems with WordPress in general, that he's, you know, Automattic got every right to hire whoever they like to do whatever they want. But Jamie now becomes the Automattic quasar face of WordPress. And the so-called community, the so-called wider community, had no input about him being hired and becoming the public face of WordPress at all, which, being that they're trying to promote more about community and really listening, I found a total contradiction. What do you reckon, Tom?
Ah, You saved the hard questions for me. I were teeing up
your experience. You know how to deal with bullshit. Subordinates.
Look, you know, this is a challenge that I've talked about this before. I hear Spencer's voice in my head just echoing now. So thank you, Spencer. I've talked about this before. Being in the big corporate environments, and it is always a balance when you're trying to please the community, but you're also trying to execute upon what you feel really passionate about as the mission. And as a side note, I do want to say, like, I'm personally excited about this because I think there's so much potential in the WordPress YouTube sphere. And compared to the individual people, I feel like WordPress, from an engagement perspective on their YouTube channel, is really lagging. And so I see this as an opportunity to just further WordPress to be the platform of choice and not particularly get beaten out by the Squarespaces, the Wixes, and the Shopifys of the world. And, you know, in my mind, I think about, like, this was probably a decision that, you know, I mean, I don't like speaking for Automatic, but I could see in my mind a scenario where this plays out, where they're like, we want the person we want, and, you know, we're going to put that person in there. Or it's a short list of people, and it's, well, not a community decision as much as it is a corporate decision.
Right. The benign dictator decided, and Jamie was there. There we go. So Brian, I see where, you know, obviously Jamie will do an excellent job. I'm sure he will do a fantastic job. It's quite strange that Jamie's here, but, you know, but here he is. He
waits. Well, I'm here in case anyone wants to ask any questions about it. That's why I'm here.
I'm just going to leave it to the end, but he won't stop me, Jamie, that you're even here, Jamie. Brian, I would say if we were meeting in person, Jamie, I would say exactly the same things as I'm saying in public. That's a monstrous fault, isn't it, Jamie? Brian, Tom puts a really good point, and I agree with him. But I also think that the success of Squarespace and Wix and these other platforms is money, marketing money, but also great affiliate deals. You know, that drives almost all the content, a lot of the content on YouTube. And really, WordPress can't match, but I suppose it's got this massive community as well, which seems to be Automatic, seems to want to use it for its own purposes when it's convenient. But when it isn't convenient, it doesn't want really engage in real back and forth discussion. What do you reckon, Brian?
Yeah, no, it's funny because, and I love your work, Jamie. I've followed it for years. I don't watch a lot of YouTube videos, but I listen to a lot of YouTube videos. So, like, whenever there's a new update or something, like, I love to let it go in the background and just kind of consume it that way. And my first reaction was, this is a net positive no matter how you look at it for WordPress. And then I looked at some of the comments, and I think it was on YouTube or something, and I was like, whoa, this goes, I don't get involved in the controversy stuff. And I was like, wow, this goes way deeper than I even was thinking. I was just like, this is a net win. And I was like, cool. But I also see the other side of it. Like, when you go, like Tom was saying, like, having worked at Kinsta previously too, where, like, the bigger they got, things definitely changed over time. And you have to think about things in a different way. And I think it's going to be a challenge, because I know lots of people don't like when Automatic is pushing certain sides of things. But I don't see how this is not a positive in any way that you spin it, because people want to complain that WordPress market share is going down 1% or Wix is stealing all the people. Well, if we want that to change, you need to push WordPress more. And I don't care whether it's through .org, .com, any way you go about it, I think just pushing better WordPress content, regardless, is a net win for everybody in the WordPress space. And then getting into the nitty gritty, is this, you know, is there money behind the scenes pushing this for another reason because they want you to sign up at WordPress.com for hosting or some other, you know, workflow like that. But I think this is just a net win. That's how I'm feel.
I don't believe that at all. I think that's on the verge of conspiracy when people start saying that stuff. I think that's bonkers myself. Heather, what do you reckon? It's probably, I don't know if this has been on your radar at all, or it's, you know, that Jamie now is the face of WordPress.
Well, I mean, I think it's always great when there's a new infusion of talent into a brand. That's always a cool thing because people are always waiting for what's he going to do? Like, what's this mean? But I love the idea of like the speed challenges. Like one of the things we did at Evernote that always did well was designathons instead of hackathons, because not everybody is a developer, especially not like most of the users of the products. They're not like, I mean, and they want to see stuff. So like a lot of the back end things aren't like things that you can see really fast. So like coming up with like a design challenge that can be done like a speed run, that's like brilliant. I love that. So yeah, like having someone that understands like what the product is and what the people want to see, that's always great. I think it's like really silly though, Jonathan, and really naive to think that the community has anything to do with a hire.
I oscillate from the two sides. In some ways, I can see their antipathy towards this in some ways, but I also understand exactly what you've just said.
Yeah, I mean, as an executive in a company, like they're a company that needs to make money.
Yeah, but it
just
depends what you see. WordPress, this is the whole problem, isn't it? It's a hot mess about where the boundaries are. There are no boundaries in WordPress. That's
well, just look at Chapel Roan. Like, I mean, if you're aware of the whole Chapel Roan thing, where she's this pop star that has been working forever, and like she now, like people are coming up on the street asking her for photos. They're pretending, like they're feeling like they know her, and they're invading her life. And she's like, "No, I'm not going to make music anymore. If you're going to like think that you own me." So no, like there is a divide. This is a company. He is an employee of this company, yeah. And the community has no
yeah, but this has
no right.
Yeah, but it's the whole problem of governance and everything we've discussed over the years on this show that never gets sorted out, and there's no will to sort it out. It's got nothing to do with Jamie,
right?
But it will affect how he's dealt with and seen factors that he has no control over. So, Kirk, what do you reckon about this? Or do you want to get involved, or you just want me to go over to Jamie?
No, I did have thoughts as soon as I saw the title of the article last week, right? And it was like head of WordPress YouTube. And I was like, head of WordPress YouTube? Like, does that mean all of us other content providers have to submit our content to Jamie so Jamie says it's okay? I was like, this is, it was just a weird title. And then I read further.
I bet he was off there.
and so I read further, you know, and I definitely think, yes, like, WordPress needs to be more proactive. We need to be, you know, more progressive in how we make content and support things. But then I think one of the first questions I'd like to direct Jamie's way then would be, is there an avenue or a way through this project that helps endorse other content providers to get better or to grow in that side of the, from like the affiliate side of the community, right? Or do you feel that other providers, since there's a head of WordPress YouTube now, will actually tend to pull back a little bit?
Yeah. So, Jamie, you must have thought he's wanting to leave already. You're a bright guy. You're a sharper tool than me. You must have thought this out a bit. You know, I'm sure you're going to do an excellent job, but, you know, do you think some of the critiques and some of my comments are fair, or would you rebut them as, you know, just being semi-garbage?
Give me one specifically to rebut. From my point of view, this is like what an incredible content challenge it is. Like, if you go and look at the WordPress.org YouTube channel, I think they've got 36,000 subscribers. And this is WordPress, right? And go and check out the Canva YouTube channel or the Squarespace or the Wix. So there's a problem there. You go and look at the last 10 videos that we've created on that channel. I think they're all sub 500 views. So there's this enormous, for me, there's a tendency to go back on the minutiae of what this means for the, you know, the stuff we've all been talking about. But for me, all I think about in my life these days is content and how to create amazing content. I'm completely obsessed around, well, one, WordPress, and two, content. So for me, this is like the ultimate perfect job. And, you know, if you go onto the WordPress.org YouTube channel, it's not a good reflection on telling the WordPress story, which helps nobody out. So, and you've described me as the face of WordPress. I'm going to be one of the faces of WordPress for sure on the channel. But for me, this is about having multiple faces of WordPress on that channel, promoting WordPress in it.
Well, but you can, you must understand the optics of this.
Yeah, of course.
The optics is that you've been chosen, you've been anointed by the benign leader. And you've been chosen, and a lot of long-term creators and art, and it's all been done, which is, as Heather pointed out, in a private company, the owner of that company, it's totally to his discretion, whoever he wants to hire or not. But then what is WordPress? Because you got this... much wider community that's not part of Automattic. They have had absolutely no input about you being hired, Jamie.
Well, that's going back to the hiring process and how that happened. We're kind of retreading the circle on that one. So, you know, I'm just fully focused on what the opportunity is and trying to, I put out, and I have to say I put out a tweet about this, and I think it had like 27,000 views or something like that. And it got a crazy amount of positive reaction. I think there's definitely been some people having some issues with the process, but it's been, you know, I'd say 99% positively received by the community. And, you know, it's not like I'm not part of the community. I'm probably, you know, if you look at my background, I've probably trained more people on WordPress face-to-face than anyone else in the world. Trained over 5,000 people face to face. I've had a plugin business. I've run masterclasses for the Guardian newspaper. I've lectured at universities. I've had a previous life of running a publishing company, being in agencies that sold enterprise software. So it's not like I'm not part of the community. So my heart is to represent the community. That's what I've kind of everything that drives me. And I probably know more people in the community than probably anyone, to be honest, in terms of who I know in the community. So I get all the stuff you're saying about the, you know, some of the friction that's involved in the process, but I can't really help you with that.
I don't expect you to.
The enormous opportunity for WordPress, and to try and show some of the voices in WordPress better on the YouTube channel, which, as I say, it's grown, but it still is, in terms of YouTube, it's very, very small. It has 36,000 subscribers. And low view rate. So there's a huge content challenge for WordPress, which I'm thrilled to be a part of.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I just want to make it really clear, Jamie, to you face-to-face. I think you're going to do a fantastic job, Jamie, and I wish you sincerely well, because it only benefits everybody in the WordPress community. I think some of the problems with it are totally out of your control and have nothing to do with you. I've never had personally any problems with you, and hopefully you feel the same. But I have to put these questions to you, Jamie, to have any credibility myself, because I could just say it's fantastic, have you on, say you're going to do a fantastic job, and it'd be great in some ways, but I don't think it would have much credibility, Jamie, because... these other things that I'm putting to you have been said online. They're there. They don't go away, Jamie. So it's best just to have it out in open and discuss it, I feel. I don't know. But I think the other thing, there's been an other podcast recently talking about your hire and about my some of the problems WordPress is facing. And a lot of commentary has been said that those problems are just down to marketing. We need better marketing. I do agree with that, but I also think there's some other problems that are not being dealt with, which marketing can't help with. What's your own view? Do you think it's just a pure, some of the challenges that WordPress has are just pure marketing? Like your feedback before you have to go, Jamie.
Sorry, there's a bit of a broad question. I didn't see the podcast. So what's the actual question?
Do you see a lot, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about WordPress not growing, that it's stagnant, that it no longer has a real buzz. And a lot of people say that's been caused either decline or it's not really growing anymore. It's down to lack of marketing. What do you think about that?
Well, it's normally the three Ps, isn't it? Product, price, and promotion. So I think there's some, I think some issues in terms of where the product's at, which we've talked about at length before. And that's, you know, I'm confident there's a good team in place to address that. I think YouTube is one strand of the marketing message, right? You know, YouTube is a huge channel for people. And actually there's quite a bit of low hanging fruit that's being created around the WordPress.org YouTube channel that we can do cool stuff with really quickly to help the marketing effort. So, you know, my remit is just the YouTube channel, but for me, as Chris said at the start, that's a key channel for lots of people when they first encounter WordPress. So I think, you know, there's just such a huge opportunity to do more there, and that's what I'm going to be doing, you know, all my life now. So it's incredible.
Thanks for that. Does any of the panel want to come in and remark about what Jamie says?
Sorry, one more thing. I have loaded some loads of ideas of what this thing is going to be look like. Yeah. But what I'm really, one of the reasons I wanted to come on here is I want to hear other people's ideas. I put out a tweet about this the other day. They got a whole ton of reaction. So if you have any crazy ideas or ideas for formats or ideas for content, please.
Yeah, and I sincerely hope that in the near future you come on the podcast for an interview, Jamie. And then you can flash out some of your ideas that I'm sure the community would love to hear them, Jamie.
Can I just ask you all one question? Is that possible?
Yeah, sure.
So in my head, everyone, I'm sort of, in terms of content planning, we're talking about content now. In my head, I'm thinking about end users. And I put this tweet out the other day in terms of who we're kind of aiming at initially to start with. Now, each of these groups have subsections, but I've got in my head, we've got beginners, we've got DIYers, we've got agencies, we've got freelancers, we've got developers, and we've got product service providers and product providers that I want to shine a light on the channel, which we haven't done before. So what do you think about that list as a starting point in terms of a content plan?
I like it. I might add designers to the list, potentially.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
I also don't know if, like, this keeps me up at night because I'm really passionate about commerce, but it's just looking back over the last 10 years, the fact that Shopify has grown into what it has grown into when WooCommerce was every bit as capable of that, as that platform. Yeah. Like, we, I think, need to really be messaging more to e-commerce. We have lost the mind share of people. Because when they think of starting a store, they think Shopify.
Yeah. Can I ask you one follow-up to that? So one of the things I'm struggling with at the moment is how we show plugins. Because at the moment, if you go to the WordPress.org channel, you won't see a single plugin on there because of people worrying about preference and stuff like that. So if I did a WooCommerce video, people would probably be up in arms. What I'm thinking is we come up with some unique formats that we can do that in a way that doesn't annoy everyone. So has anyone got any thoughts on that? How we show Lifter LMS without everyone going crazy on the official .org channel? Because plugins are a huge part. Well,
one thing before Chris jumps in, because I know he's probably got thoughts on that, but one of the things that I try to always think about is it's not about how you solve the problem. It's about what is the problem people have. How you solve it is a point to that. But if you focused on, like, what are the things people are trying to do that require plugins, then frame the solution as you've got many choices potentially of that, but frame the content approach around what are you trying to solve for people? It's like people are trying to sell online. Well, what? Memberships? Because maybe WooCommerce isn't the best thing for you. Courses? You know, go to Lyft or LMS. So I think you've got to really focus on what is the use case that you're trying to solve instead of just saying we're showcasing ABC plugin.
Yeah, I think before, because we're going to have to go for our break, Jamie, my own input to finish the first half, Jamie, is it is can of worms, this, but maybe one of the ways that you could deal with it is really looking, it's the opposite way of doing it, Jamie, is actually look at the SaaS competitors and really highlight the cost savings and critique the opposition and their weaknesses. Because I've recently, Kurt will know this, I've looked at a number of membership SaaS products and I've been amazed. They've got strengths, but how weak they are also in a number of ways, which they promote as strengths, but like they're easy to set up. They're not actually, I was looking at Kajabi. It isn't easy. It depends on the amount of knowledge you have of such platforms. But so taking the fight and really critiquing the enemy and comparing it to what you get in WordPress might be a good idea, Jamie.
That's great. Yeah, cool. I'm going to be in WordCamp US. So if anyone wants to come and grab me, please come and grab me. Send me any ideas you've got as well. So anything at all, please.
And I just want to say, Jamie, I really appreciate you coming on the show. You didn't have to do this. It's difficult to listen to what other people are saying, especially me. But you get full marks, and hopefully you'll come on the show in the near future and we have a deeper discussion, because I think there's enormous possibilities, and I do sincerely wish you well, Jamie, in this.
Yeah, thanks. That'd be great if we can move the conversation up to, you know, the opportunity and the content. That's what I really want to get to as quickly as possible. But thanks, everyone. Lovely to see you all.
Thank you. Just we're going to go for our break, folks. We're going to back. We've got a list of stories. Some of the panel will probably have to leave us. I do want to get through a lot of these stories because they're really interesting. But we will be back soon for the second half of the show. We'll see you soon.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lyfter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lyfter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lyfterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a great discussion. Jamie was fantastic. Do sincerely wish him well. Want to point out, if you're looking for a great WordPress partner, hosting partner that specializes in membership and community focused websites, why don't you look at what WP Tonic's got to offer? To find out more, you can go over to wp-tonic.com partners, and have a look and become a partner with us. So let's get into it. So that was fabulous. So on to the next story. Elon Musk is suing his advertisers. So Heather, what do you reckon about this one? Oh, Elon suing his advertisers. Going on X.
I knew you were going to ask me about this one. I know that Spencer's going to like jump in right after me on this, but okay. So basically the story is, Elon is suing his advertisers, and it centers around, claims of antitrust violations. So this is,
he wouldn't know anything about that, Heather, would he?
Well, I mean, he wants to suggest that the advertising boycott is coordinated to unfairly disadvantage X, Twitter, in the marketplace. And so at Unilever, Mars, and others argue that they have the right to choose where to place their ads based on their brand safety. And so the lawsuit is arguing or raising questions about whether advertisers can engage in collective action. Spencer's like, okay, that legal term, without violating antitrust laws. And then the evidence has to suggest that advertisers have coordinated their actions, and that could be seen as collusion, another legal term, which that would lead to legal consequences. So Elon Musk is trying to argue that they have like colluded with each other for collective action. And the distinction here is that if they have, then it is illegal. But if they're saying that it is...
Well, do you think you might have something to do in public? You tell your major sponsors to go F themselves. Do you think that might have had something...
Well, so that's what they're saying. They're saying it's a legitimate response for brand safety versus an illegal boycott. And so it's going to come down to what the court case says. So, yeah, I mean, and it's going to set a precedent here. So if they can prove Unilever, Mars, and prove that they have the right to, protect their brand and advertise wherever they want, then that's one thing. But it's going to come down to, can Elon Musk and his team of lawyers prove that collective bargaining agreements are unlawful?
Yeah, sure. Before I throw it out. So, Tom, what would your reaction be if you were spending a lot of money on a platform and the owner of that platform told you to go F yourself?
Well, I love legal...
What would your response
be? Okay, I love legal questions because I feel like in another life I must have been a lawyer. So, you know, I don't know if I'm right or not, but look, I completely agreed with, I think it was Unilever that said this. They're like, nobody has the right to our advertising dollars. I loved that. And I was like, yes, you know, I'm like, you, nobody has anyone's right to any money that they're spending, except the government, I guess. That's a different podcast. But if there was some criminal conspiracy to hurt X, then that, of course, crosses the line. But I fully stand for everyone's individual right. But I think that if there is something that proves that these people tried to collude and conspire together to take down or hurt, not take down, but to hurt X or Elon Musk, then, you know, I think that's a different thing.
So, Brian, you know, I love X, formerly known as Twitter. Still love it for all its crimes. It's been painful to me, but I still use it. But, you know, what's your response when, you know, you tell your major and you specifically highlight the head of Disney, one of your biggest advertisers, and you personally tell him to go and F himself? What do you think's going to happen then, Brian?
I mean, I've never personally understood all the hate against X. I mean, Elon is crazy and eccentric and all the stuff. I get that. But like, I think most of us here are probably on X more than most other platforms. And it's because that's where all the WordPress folks are, at least in my...
I pop in and then I have a shower afterwards, actually.
And so like...
I feel a bit dirty afterwards, but I do, you know.
But lots of folks like to hate on X and then they go to use X because that's where all the people are. So it's like, It's kind of a weird scenario there, but I like how Tom worded it because I'm not a lawyer at all, so I don't know what's going on much. But when I saw the article, I was like, yeah, who has a right to others' dollars? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So like, I guess the whole story is if it's a collusion happening or not, where that's draws the line legally, I guess, because yeah, X doesn't have the rights to any individual's dollar. X is a private company. So I was like, what is going on here? But I guess I could see if it's collusion between companies behind, I guess there's a legal precedence where that's an issue. Or again, I'm not I have no legal experience at all. So
no, and it's bringing the lawyer, the so Spencer, you know, what's going? Does he stand a chance, or do you think he's on a hopeless road to nowhere? Oh, you're mooted again. I think you're mooted again. No, there's nothing coming out.
Yeah, so they're trying to set a precedent, is what it is. So, yeah. Yes, no, nod, Spencer.
But I don't think
First of all, thank God for my microphone being muted. First of all, what the hell is wrong with your StreamYard today that it keeps resetting my microphone?
It's not to all of us.
I just saw us all go black and circly.
Right? It was like I just came in and out. It's like Elon knows what I'm about to say.
Yeah. I think
I am a lawyer, and I do not play one on TV. I'm going to say that one of the things we learn when you go through law school in the 18th century, when I did, is that there has to be in a civil versus a criminal thing, there has to be certain things that happen. The word conspiracy and crime and all this stuff was being thrown. Let's first of all be clear. The difference between civil lawsuits and criminal charges. Criminal means the state or the government has to see something that there is a law against. There is no law that requires companies to give their money to X. So there cannot be any conspiracy to not give money to X. They can hold up signs. You know what they could? They could storm the Capitol on January 6th next year. Saying,
oh, that's it. Thanks a lot.
Cheers. I'm just saying. Yeah. They could do anything they want that is a form of legal protest. As long as they are not like literally blocking X's website or doing DDoS attacks or, you know, stopping people from handing over money. There is no physical act. I bring up the January 6th thing because, like, that stuff got nobody's all going to jail. There's lots of arguments about it. This is, like, not a criminal act. Full stop. What's ironic to me is this is the guy who bought the platform and just literally stuck his thumb in everybody's eye about, yes, Disney, too effing bad for you because you're going to have your, you know, new version of Mulan right up next to Nazis doing salutes. And no advertiser anywhere is ever going to say that's a good idea. I mean,
I'm sure Tom really wants his beloved hosting company.
All the opinions were thought out. This is not about you guys, but it's like if I said, because I know it's Convesio. Convesio has to advertise on this, you know, killing babies website or something. It's your obligation. And you'd be like, what are you talking about? That's just not the way it is. So the idea is this is just a bunch of nothing. But what billionaires and trillionaires do is they do this to sway public opinion. This is the same kind of belligerent stuff like when he said F you to Disney at that thing. And I couldn't believe it. I thought it was AI generated. He does it because people, when they reach a certain point, lose their mind. It amplifies and focuses all of the idiosyncrasies of their personality times a billion. Look at Elon Musk. Look at Jeff Bezos. Look at the old Steve Jobs. Look at anybody today. Zuckerberg, by the way, to turn this around, Zuckerberg hired a consultant. And if you notice that there's no longer, you know, Commander Data, Mark Zuckerberg, there's a new tan, curly hair, you know, windsurfing behind a boat, kind of laid back.
I'm looking to hire his PR person.
It's because all of this is for show. So my conclusion is, interesting thing, very funny. There is zero chance, negative zero chance, of anything ever coming of this because there's no crime that has been committed. And that's it.
Go ahead. On we go.
And that's my legal opinion.
If you don't mind, Chris and Kirk, can we go on to the next story? Because otherwise we'd be here all day and you've got better things to do. But I do want to get through most of these stories because they're really interesting for once. On to the next one. Dear WordPress, the beloved Kevin Geary, the man that the WordPress establishment hates even more than me. No, they don't hate me. It's amazing. He really is good at marketing, Kevin. I like Kevin. He's a required taste. He's got enough fruit publicity for my podcast, but my God, he's a fantastic marketer. So, Chris, what do you reckon? The way he's launched this Edge, God knows what it is, that he's having these meetings to next week and only 1,000 people can join them. You know, why he can't just put it on YouTube and everybody watches it, I don't know. But it's just, you know, this excitement that he's building, and it's just fabulous stuff. You've got to give him top marks. He is a fabulous marketer, isn't he, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely making a splash. And let me know if my audio is having issues. But on his website, it says the biggest WordPress product announcement of the last 20 years.
It's like a small statement, isn't it?
That's a big claim. So the video specifically, where it has some of like the viral triggers of outrage and, you know, a little bit of anger and frustration in it. And I'm kind of two minds. At the end of the video, it transitions to a product pitch. So, yeah, if you have a challenge or problem with something, be a part of the solution. Edge is his solution. But they're sort of separate issues about like kind of poking the bear around WordPress stagnation or decline, or, you know, politics of WordPress, and then his product story. So it's a little bit intense, but
he's intense, isn't he? He's you and him together like chalk and cheese, aren't they? Your styles, your public styles, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate someone launching a product, and obviously is super invested in, you know, trying to serve a certain part of the WordPress market with Edge. So it'll be interesting to see what.
Well, I do agree. I agree with about 70-80% of his critique. But so, Brian, you know, I see you as one of the best marketers in WordPress when you want to be. It's just self-motivated. You know, it's a lot of work, isn't it, Brian? But you got it. You know, like I say, I really mean that. I see you one of the top marketers in WordPress. You've got to admire this guy in pure strategy, marketing strategy. He knows how to market, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the whole YouTube video, and I'm signed up on his thing just because he got me to through his marketing. I want to see what it is. But
you've been manipulated, really, but you just grin because you just admire how you've been manipulated, aren't you?
One, the one thing I will say about him is he never holds back. Like if you follow him on X or anything, like he doesn't hold back. He says what he thinks, which I actually appreciate that. It's kind of refreshing sometimes. But
he makes me look mild and meek, doesn't he?
Yeah. But one thing is, it is very hard to comment on something when you don't know what it is yet. That's the little frustrating part. And so like, a lot of people in the comments, so you see a little frustration there. It's like, I would love to, you know, push this more or help promote, but like, we don't even know what it is yet. And
it's like that scene out of Dogs of War, where they got the professional reporter saying, well, they never broadcast my stuff because I can never interview the president, isn't it? It's like that scene, isn't it?
Now, I do work with a lot of automatic CSS clients, like his other product. Like I'm working on sites every day that's using that product. And so it's very popular. And so that does give me confidence that whatever he's working on will actually be pretty good because I'm seeing his other product everywhere. So I am very curious to see what it will be. I mean, some people were saying it's going to be
it better be bloody good. There's a lot of people gunning for him now, aren't they? Because he's really, you can tell that they've been affected, the kind of WordPress establishment. He's like put his fist into a wasp nest, hasn't he? Just rammed his fist right in, hasn't he? And they don't like it, do they? They're pushing back, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what it is. I'm glad though he's pushing things further. I mean, if he wants to be the one at the front running through the gates, I mean, let him do that. And I'm just curious to see what it'll be. And I have a feeling, though, it will be a good product. So just based on the other stuff he's done. So regardless of what you think maybe of his personality and stuff. And
yeah, I have no problem. I admire, you know, I just admire the marketing and spiel. And it's just I wish I had his skill.
I think the other controversy was, I think he's doing a lifetime deal. I was reading some comments, and I think that's why he's limiting it. And so I know some people, you know, are some people like that, some people don't. I have my own opinion on that, but I mean, it is a good way to scale a product, I guess, going out.
Well, his tribe just love it, don't they? They just lap it up, don't they? You know. So, Kurt, what do you reckon? I just think it's a fantastic launch.
I reckon I'm a sucker for a lifetime deal. That's what I reckon.
Well, I'm the queen of the lifetime deal, aren't I, Kurt?
I have seen comments. Well, I saw a comment from Adam. He's like, I've seen this thing and it's awesome. Wait till it gets launched, right? So when he gets people like that that are like,
how much you paid Adam to say that?
I don't know. But then you're like, ooh. And then I saw another comment that said, we've been waiting for someone to fork this thing and go another direction, you know? And then you're like, ooh. And then I thought, what I really want, Kevin, is my next benevolent dictator. And I'm like, no. So with Kevin, his aggressiveness and his cadence, I sometimes get lost when I watch these videos. I kind of watch them like more than once, and I can be told that I'm a fast communicator. So sometimes I really rely on Katie Keith. She'll come along behind his videos on Twitter and she'll start bullet pointing things. And then it creates a clarity for me. So I'm like,
I think you need a Katie for me, don't you?
Sometimes I need a Katie for you. But it works really well for me. And we've all said it.
Jamie was struggling with my multi-point questions. See, or do you think that was a defense of not answering it?
I just missed what you said.
I said Jamie. I think Jamie was struggling with my multi-point questions, wasn't it?
I've noticed that when you speak to Jamie, he always specifically says to you, what was your question? Can you just be more clear what you're asking me? Because he wants to be very specific. But with the Kevin stuff, I'm really curious. I signed up. I'm one of the 1,000 people that's going to try and get on that
live. You just can't. You're like, man, you're weak. This thing is Spencer resisted. Let's hope he's got his mic sorted out. You're muted, Spence. I'm warning you now. But did you resist or did you sign up like me, like the rest of us?
Testing, 1, 2, 3, okay.
Yeah. Did you sign up?
No.
Why didn't sign up?
I got a link here that you can share in your notes about what Etch is. So the design framework, reusable components, SEO and performance optimization, training and support, Gutenberg Block Library, community driven. He's basically taking his sensibility, and he's an expert in that regard, and he and I have had online stuff together talking about this. He feels that there needs to be a greater professional level of control over the design components, especially the CSS framework. At the same time, I've expressed a mutual interest in how lame the core Gutenberg is. That's why I'm an advocate for Cadence and Cadence Blocks. I'm on team Cadence. The rest of the stuff with the SEO, the training makes sense. And so what he's saying is, I have my own version of that, right? So I have LaunchKit, and it's WordPress as a service envisioned by Spence. But I don't care about design. He's a big design and professional designer. He's doing that kind of idea for this community of people. As far as the lifetime deal is concerned, I think it's interesting in this case because he doesn't have to probably deliver anything on the ongoing basis. So like Tom would understand this. Like I don't want to be in any business where the cost of the deliverables like hosting continues to scale. And then I have been paid on the day one. So the only things I would do in a lifetime deal today would be things that I know or just come get the little package at the doorstep yourself. So this could be a deliverable that works and it makes it attractive for people to say, screw it, I'm in. It's a win for him either way, because one of the things that I've said, I think I said this last month or the month before, I said, I'm no longer interested in arguing with Mullenweg in person or online about what the hell is wrong with WordPress. Instead, I've just said, 2024 is the year. I just went off and I did what I've been talking about for the last year. I'm making WordPress as I envision it for my crowd. And it works. It's not everybody's view of it, but I'm also kind of exhausted by all of the politics and
the tribal nature of this page builder plugin and that page builder plugin and this.
Oh, they're not tribal. It's all they
and again, I'm gonna pick on my friends here to say I think they feel the same way. So Chris has been doing this forever with LMS, and Tom's marketing, I notice, very highly focused on WordPress and e-commerce and, you know, scaling sites. Like, he could pick a million different things. I love how focused Convesio is, because you can't be everything to all people. There's always going to be a critic. So I love that Kevin is an outspoken guy. He's like my brother from another mother in that way. And he draws a lot of flack, but he's got the facts and the data to back it up. So now he's productizing that into an environment.
Yeah, that's great. I just think sometimes he pushes it a little bit too far, but it's a tense.
Well, you gotta, you know what? Like, look at Elon. Elon saying all this crazy shit that he says, everybody's talking about Elon. Guess what? I was able to find a Reddit thread about Kevin Geary. For F's sake, Reddit has got somebody bothered posting about Kevin Geary. I mean, Kevin's a great guy, but nobody posts about Adam Presser in Reddit, and he's got 250,000 people on YouTube. It's controversy that gets people talking about stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, it never worked for me, and I've been lucky.
You got to put a wig on and jump off a bridge.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I've got to do. Got to find a wig, haven't I? I need a beard like Tom, really. I'm going to move on to the next thing, guys. Let's go on to the next thing, Telegram and their CEO. First of all, don't become a French citizen. And secondly, don't go to Paris. What do you reckon, Heather? Did he not understand? I think, but they pushed his citizenship in a special category. And I think the president said you'd be okay for France, but he lands and he's arrested. What's it about, Heather?
He did some bad stuff, allegedly. And, Pavel Durov.
I can't do my Russian accent, Heather.
Yeah, it's Pavel Durov. So they're arresting him, saying that Telegram is being used for illicit activity and distribution of bad things. But
well, it's other people doing bad things.
Well, yeah. So they're trying to say that he's complicit in this because he created a platform. So basically, I mean, this is possibly an issue because, who is responsible for the platform? This is a big case that people are going to follow, because if they're making the CEO responsible for the app that he created and the content that is on it, then, I mean, people are going to be looking at this very closely. But also, the users of Telegram,
Can I ask you this, Kiva? Yeah. You know, I might be a bit of a freak, but there we go. I think there's some logic to a lot of the stuff I say somewhere. They keep saying it's encrypted, it can't be broken, it's beloved. I don't believe that. I don't think it would be allowed to be used in Russia because it's not allowed. You can't use it in China. They don't allow it. You've got to go through some elaborate hoops to try and use it in China, to my understanding. But they allow it to be used, and it's beloved by the Russian trolls that attack Ukraine. They're on it 24/7. I have my doubts about the whole thing. What do you reckon, Eva?
Whether it's encrypted or not, how it's encrypted. I mean, there's different ways to encrypt software. There's different ways to store the information. There's different encryption keys. It absolutely can be encrypted. They could set it so, they could have all of the stuff encrypted to a local encryption key. They could also have a master encryption key as well.
Do you think that's held in the Kremlin?
The only way to be really safe is to have everything just stored locally, but you can't really do that.
You know, if you were advising a company and the employees were using it and had it on their phones, would you be happy, Heather?
I can tell you that the only application that the U.S. government is really happy with is nothing. No. Yeah, so that there is no accepted account. I mean, there's no accepted communication platform that is IL6 and above. So,
oh, that's another one. We're losing people, but it's good.
Yeah,
this will move forward. So, Spencer, what do you reckon? Do you think he's going to get away from France, or do you think he's going to spend his days in a French prison? They're not. I did spend 2 days in a French prison.
Turkish prison, I think, is going to end that. Like, did that run?
It's France. It's
France. Yeah. No, I mean the movie back in the day. Where, like, this is an issue where, I'm not saying France doesn't have a democratic process, but this is an issue where some pressure has been put to put this guy in a cage for a while. And this has nothing to do with following process. This is, they're going to keep him tied up for quite some time. And what's ironic is the danger in this case, which, by the way, there was the guy, Kim.com, who was from New Zealand, who famously in the 90s ran.
He was German, wasn't he? He was German.
Well, but, he's been fighting extradition because the U.S. government has been pressuring New Zealand to send this guy back up to the U.S. for violating, you know, Sony's copyrights and stuff back in the 90s. And this guy has been writing letters like, go F yourself and the horse you rode in on, and like telling every, he's like a hero around the world. But New Zealand crumbled under the pressure of the U.S. government, you know, being.
They probably sent a couple of new
lobbied by the movie and recording industry. Well,
Julian Assange is free now.
If you could, all you got to do is, people live in such a weird, short-sighted vacuum. If anybody's a student of history, there's so many examples of this through recorded history of how laws are laws and democracies and kingdoms and whatever all exists. And even in a benevolent dictatorship, but money is the only thing that ever matters anywhere. And if you've got a powerful organizations who you're harming, and they're going to put pressure on a government, stuff's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying there's any reasonable way a guy who started a platform that has billions of users is responsible for like child porn on the thing. I mean, how could it possibly be that he's responsible for everything that was posted on the site?
Well, this is the whole.
Well, it's not about that.
Well, this is how
it's about him saying F you to the France's government about turning over all the user stuff. Just like when Kim.com was asked to turn over all of the users from Pirate Bay, he said F you, and they nuked the servers. Famously, nuked the servers to get rid of all of the transactional data.
I think they're in Sweden now, aren't they? They got the pirate party in Sweden, and I think.
But what I'm saying is, under the hood of all of this is historically, you see tons of examples. There was Howard Hughes being pulled in front of the Senate committees back then. You could look at anybody who thumbs their nose at a powerful lobbying or government, and what happens is they end up going to a prison for a while. Especially in Russia, where you go out.
Do you have any comments about this, Brian, or can we go on to the next story?
I mean, when I first saw it, I think of the Silk Road guy, because I'm kind of interested in that story. But as someone also posted on X, I don't know if someone saw, but the arresting the CEO of Bic Pens, because now everyone is illicit in drug trade because they've used a pen at some sort of time. I thought that was
I think it's ridiculous. I wouldn't advise Elon to go to Britain, actually. I think this child, I'm being serious.
I mean, couldn't they just do the same thing if you think about it? Elon or Bill Gates or Zuckerberg?
Well, I think Elon Musk would be in danger of being arrested if he went to Britain. He's not very popular in Britain, put it this way.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of ridiculous. But the free speech stuff happening over in the Europe, though, is actually kind of getting scary, to be honest.
Okay. Right. Well, look, actually,
It's no longer a quorum.
He's just going, but we can't finish.
Not a minion anymore. Right. We no longer can have.
Let's go on to this other story that I pushed at the last minute. It came on my radar, but it's just delicious. I want to be respectful for the relatives of this lady.
And it's just my diseased English brain, listeners and viewers, but I just found it. So the story is, there was a lady that worked for Wells Fargo, and she logs in, and she's 60, and I'm 61, folks. I know it's amazing. I don't look a day like it, do I? Go on, agree to it, Brian. She logs in, and she dies. And she's in a cubicle, and they don't find her till 4 days later. And she slumped over the desk, and nobody pops their head round. Nobody asks if she's feeling unwell. And really, it's only when there's a smell that develops that anybody at Wells Fargo bothers to prod her. It's like, so, Brian, I just think it kind of sums up American corporate culture,
I used to work a couple corporate jobs, and I had a cubicle. I had to dress up, put on a tie, dress shoes, and I wanted to kill myself. So I can see how that could happen, because nobody, when you're working in that type of environment, I maybe had one friend at this one job I'm thinking back to, but other than that, everyone was doing their own thing. They didn't care about anybody else. I'm hoping this is over a weekend, though. Or you said 4 days?
No, it was 4 business days, I think. I might be wrong, but
four business days. That's a little disturbing. And, that's kind of strange. But I mean, it does sum up corporate environment in America. I mean, it's, I'd done corporate jobs and they were horrible.
So, what do you reckon, Spencer? It's a personal tragedy, and Wells Fargo hasn't got a fantastic reputation, isn't it? But do you think there's a wider, it just caught my eye, and I think it kind of sums up America in 2024, doesn't it, Spencer?
Well, one of my favorite movies is the Mike Judge movie Office Space, which is from the 90s, and I had a lot of friends hung out in Silicon Valley during those days in the North Bay, and it was just as bad then. The truth is, it's an unfortunate situation, but like I always tell my friends and family, my third trimester when I turn 60 in 2 years is I'm going to continue doing all the stuff I love, but I hope that I will die at this desk doing something I love, because there's no retirement. There's no point in it. So whether you die in a cubicle or die here, the only difference is if they find you before your body starts to smell. So rule to the wise is don't have a lot of cats that don't have their own food bowl, because they're going to take care of you. But it's just sad for the family that nobody checked in on her. Like, it's more sad that she had nobody who knew she was missing for 4 days than when she was in the cubicle. But what are you going to do? Like, honestly, there's a million ways to go. Checking out at work in the cubicle doesn't sound as bad as a lot of things. You know, getting hit by a boss, or, you know, waiting for a WordPress update.
The personal side, but loneliness and isolation, I think it's increased because of COVID, actually, and people. But isn't it a terrible corporate culture that none of her work colleagues or anybody even pop their head around and just see that you can be in office and be dead for 4 days and nobody knows, isn't it?
That's the work from home. You and I, or Brian, because he works from too.
He never leaves his flat.
Nobody would notice I was gone.
He lives in Phoenix anyway. It's too hot to leave the.
It'd be like driving off. Spence just decided not to do it.
Mine would be my brother. Like, I'm not responding to my brother in Slack or something. Like, that was really, it's like, that's the type of thing we're involved with. But it is. Like,
nobody made lunch today for me. I wonder where Dad is. Oh, he's dead at the computer. That's morbid, but.
Right. Have you got time, you two, for the last? I think the next story would be the last, or do you need both of you want me
to? I have to go. It's past my bedtime.
Well, let's wrap it up then. So we've got two more. We've had a fabulous. I've really enjoyed it, actually. It's been a fabulous show, actually. Even Kevin is remarked about Spencer's.
I'll publish it in the thing, but like apparently that was AI generated, he says, which is interesting because I don't know, maybe the I asked him to publish if he has a clarification. I don't know what the product is. I know it's going to be awesome, but apparently that article, I published the link in there, maybe that was an AI thing.
Yeah, seemingly the master has spoken. Don't be nasty to me, Kevin. You're much too tough in your day.
Well, I signed up, Kevin.
He's a judo jiu-jitsu master. He'd just chew me up and spill me out, he would. So, Brian, you've ended to the last... This is the end of your WordPress career, Dave, Brian, coming on this rag show. So, Brian, how can people find out more about you and what you're up to?
I guess probably most active on X. But yeah, just ask Brian Lee Jackson on X. I do have a personal newsletter, which I have been very religious at. I don't get a lot of time to write these days, but I've done that for 2 years straight every month without hesitation. So you can find that on my personal website, just brianleejackson.com. So if you like to, I throw in a little more like what's going on in my life sometimes in there, things I think what's happening in the WordPress community, some just more personal stuff, if anyone's.
Fantastic. I get it. You should. So, Spencer, it's been a fab show, isn't it? How can people find out more about you and your thoughts?
WPLaunchFi.com or all the social media is Spencer Foreman, no Ian Foreman. And it's like, this is, I was just talking to some clients this morning about this. Like, I go on X and Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn. It gets some attention, but it's like become a spam fest. Everybody's trying to get you like immediately to give you their, you know, time, which is stupid. Facebook, I actually still feel is productive. YouTube is productive. X, unfortunately, I don't do the premium thing. And when I go on, it's virtually worthless anymore because it is like, for some reason, become so granular in what it shows me or what displays of me that I used to feel like it was relevant to getting attention. And now whatever it is doing, it's just seems very negative. So I'm not saying I'm not going to do it there anymore, but I give it very little thrift.
I think your comments are quiet. You'd find your poison and you get back there all.
I'm not saying it's not awesome, but I'm saying it's like everybody's matured and I think become a little exhausted. And it's unfortunate too, because Elon Musk is a...
I think there's some WordPress communities that can never be exhausted.
Yeah. But I'm saying like when you look at what SpaceX is doing, he's singularly that company. I mean, Boeing is falling apart. They can't even rescue their own capsule. So like we're relying on this guy who has six going on 12,000 satellites, all the rocketry to get us off this planet and everything. And that guy is losing his mind on social media every day. And I'm thinking to myself, it's very odd. I mean, maybe it's like when...
I wrote a piece and I did publish it on Twitter, but I deleted it. And it's about... I've gone on about this before, but it's so clear the linkage I see where Elon is going with Henry Ford. And if you read up about Henry Ford, was actually sued by a lawyer, a Jewish lawyer. It's a famous civil case, you might know it. And it really brought down Henry Ford down to earth. And the parity of these two industrialists and entrepreneurs is uncanny, really, that they're just using different technologies. But if you study this case and what happened to Henry Ford, it's unnerving.
I mean, it's definitely a parallel. There's a lot of parallels. I think we're all living in this sort of history repeats itself. But the thing that's unusual is today, with the leverage that one has. I mean, in the old days, it used to be through the newspaper and the newsreels, but now it's with social media. It's just the idea that I can't imagine what it's like to get up and be him. I get up in the morning and I futz with my back or futz with my nerves and I do a couple calls and I have a nice day. I see my kids and it's like, it's a filling day. Imagine if the whole planet either loves you or hates you and you've got 16 companies and his brain must be going at 100,000 miles an hour all the time. So it must be very difficult.
Yeah.
I don't envy that, but I also feel it's unfortunate.
He made his bed and he's lying there,
he'll be fine. The rest of us are who suffer because the consequences of all this behavior is that we all are like playing in that playground of
social media seems to have evolved into something it wasn't supposed to be, but maybe many people predicted that. You know, people don't act kindly in that environment.
No. Well, it's been a fab show, folks. Thank you for listening. We will be back next month. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.